this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in a series entitled Faith for an Amazing Life. Faith for an Amazing Life. This is one of the most important lessons I can teach you in this series, because if you want to live in an amazing life, you have to learn how to have the right confession. A lot of people have not made a relationship between what they say and what they have in their lives. And so you have what you say. Like, it's a spiritual law that teaches us that I have what I say. That is why we don't go around making bad confessions. Isn't that right? That's why we don't go around saying, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Like, we don't say stuff like that, right? You know, and so Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 33rd verse, they'll put it up on the screen. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens, class? The mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Makes sense. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, you got to get to verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, that means to be made free or acquitted, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, and that means to be put in bondage or sentence. And so we have not, a lot of people have not made a relationship between what they say and what they have in their lives. We were made in God's image. Isn't that right? Like how many know God spoke what he wanted? He said, let there be, and whatever it was showed up. And we were never designed to speak what we did not want in life. You know, if God, now God is here, okay? We already know God is here, right? So when I say this, you're like, well, Pastor, he's here. But like I was going to say, if God walked in the door, right, and said, today is Tuesday, guess what would today become? Tuesday, because whatever God says, just like that, is so. Does that make sense? And so when God speaks, things automatically come to pass. And we have to make a connection between what we say and what we have. Proverbs 18 and 20, a very familiar passage of scripture. And this is one lesson on having the right confession. I teach it a couple times a year. And I could almost teach this once a quarter and it'd be necessary. Because as a pastor, I am amazed at people who come to a Word of Faith church for years and still have the wrong thing coming out of their mouth. And so it's really, really important that we're saying the right thing. Proverbs 18 and 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. In other words, whatever you say, that's what's going to be so in your life. All right? And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the devil. And they that love. Okay, shoot me down if I ain't talking right. Because the Bible didn't say that, did it? It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So death and life is not in the power of the devil. It's not even in the power of God. It's in the power of the tongue. All right. And the writer says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you will have what you say. Everybody say, I will have what I say. So I must watch what I say. All right. You know, husband and wives, I understand there's going to be disagreements. That's natural and all those kind of things. But don't let stuff come out of your mouth. Like, I can't stand you. Because after a while, if you keep saying that and keep saying that, guess what? That's how you're going to feel. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you have what you say. It's a law. Let's talk a little bit about laws. I've got a definition for laws and they'll put it up on the screen. A law is a principle based on predictable circumstances of an act. What kind of circumstances? Predictable. All right. Something that operates or functions the same way every time. If I was to wake up in the morning, all right, and walk into the bank with a BB gun, right, and say, stick them up, right? Then, you know, and then the tailor hits the little, you know, button. I guess that's true. I seen it on the movies. You understand? And so hits the little button. Next thing you know, it's funny because they hit the button and 30 seconds later, the cops are showing up. And so hits the little button and you know, and they come and get me. What are they going to do to me? Arrest me and take me to where? Right. Because why? It's the law. So it's predictable. Right? And so if I get out on bond and I go and I rob the bank on Tuesday, what they gonna do? They gonna come get me again, right? Because it's the law, it's predictable. Isn't that right? Yeah. If you speed and get stopped by the cops, what are they going to do? Give you a ticket, right? Right? If you can't blame it on no demon. You understand what I'm saying? You were speeding. Praise the Lord. I would just leave that one right on alone. So if I want to make something work in my life, I must understand the law and how it works. You know, if you wanted to learn how to fly, you would go to flight school. All right. I've got some different friends and even brother-in-law who's a pilot. So you would go to flight school. Watch this, because when you go to flight school, they teach you how to fly. Right. They teach you the laws of flight. And so when you come into this, when you come into these four walls, I'm teaching you the laws of faith. I'm teaching you how faith works so you can operate it in a way that when you walk out, you can get results. Not, you know, 10 months down the road, but you can get results right away. See, preaching brings inspiration, and there's nothing wrong with preaching because the Bible said Jesus went about preaching and teaching. So preaching brings inspiration, but teaching brings information and understanding. And watch this, and understanding takes away fear. You got it? See, when you have an understanding that Jesus bore your sickness and disease on a tree, when you have an understanding that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, you're already healed, even if the enemy tries to attack your body, you won't go get in fear. You got it? Yeah, you might go to the doctor because God's given us doctors. You might have the surgery because that's okay. You might take the medicine. Nothing wrong with those things, but you're still doing it all in faith and not in fear. Isn't that right? Yeah. So you have to understand the laws. When you go to flight school, they teach them the laws of flight. Like if a plane picks up a certain speed, the air comes over the wings, it defies the law of gravity and the law of lift takes place. Right? So you have to learn that. But when you come to faith school on Sundays, you got it. And we're going to get back to Tuesdays after a while in Jesus' name. All right. You learn different laws. You learn things like the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You learn that sin cannot dominate me because Jesus already took care of it on the cross. So I have a choice to make. And as long as I follow Holy Spirit and his path for my life, I can stay away from that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because, you know, people say, no, the devil got me. No, I have to choose to comply with him. Does that make sense? All right. So, you know, y'all remember Jesus showed up. There was a big crowd. Peter was fishing. Peter had gotten done fishing. He was cleaning his nets, had been fishing all night. Y'all remember that, right? And Jesus says, hey, Peter, can I get on your boat so I can speak to the people, kind of higher platform? And Peter said, yeah, no problem, Jesus. We work and we're going to be here a few hours. And then he said, well, can you push out a little bit because there's a bunch of them. Peter said, yeah, I got you. No problem. Jesus begins to preach and teach the people. He's beginning to teach increase, all right? And so when he gets done, he tells Peter, he says, hey, he says, I appreciate what you did for me. He said, now go fishing again. And then Peter tried to explain to Jesus, oh, no, Jesus, we have been fishing, you know, all night. He says, Jesus, you have to understand, at nighttime, the fish come to the top. But in the daytime, when the sun shows up, my sanctified imagination, I'm adding some of this, right? You know, the fish go down to Peter's telling, you know, my daddy was a fisherman, Jesus. No disrespect, y'all was carpenters. You got my granddaddy was a fish, you know. And Jesus said, just launch out into the deep, right? And of course, we know the story. Peter went out, had so much, he had to have the other boats come to get the big catch. And Peter was astonished at the catch. Watch this. But Jesus was not astonished at the catch because he understood the laws of faith that they are predictable. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to learn that no matter what comes in life and no matter what goes in life, if you will operate the laws of faith, it is going to work. It doesn't mean sometime that you won't be still excited. It doesn't mean that you're like, Jesus, you still amaze me. You got it. But you have to understand that it's supposed to work this way. Like if I'm living for God, you got it, and I'm living right and I'm giving right and I'm treating people right and I'm doing all the right things, how many know that we should be blessed? Isn't that right? Like you shouldn't feel bad about being blessed, or you shouldn't be astounded, like, oh my goodness, he did it. No. God wants to give his children good gifts because he's a good father, and the Bible says all good things come from above. Watch this in Mark, the 11th chapter and the 11th verse. You guys getting anything out of this? He says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Watch this. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. Now, leaves on a tree is a sign of fruitfulness. So when you see leaves on a tree, you got it. In the time of figs was there. I don't know if this translation says it, or if it's Matthew says it. But they tell. Let me keep reading. And seeing figs on a tree afar off, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the times of figs was not yet. All right. And Jesus answered. Watch what he says. And said unto it, no man. What did he say? So not just me, but he says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples did what? So notice his disciples, the Bible didn't say they overheard it. The disciples said they heard it. Jesus wanted them to hear it to see how this whole confession thing works. Now let's go to verse, drop down to verse 24. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. What happened to a class? Dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance, saying unto him, Master, behold, Jesus, look, the tree which you cursed is withered away. And Peter was astonished, but Jesus was not. Does that make sense? I would be astonished if the plane don't fly. Come on, somebody. When I get on US Air, you know, Lady LaCanti and I, we travel a lot. And when we get on, we go to sleep before we even take off. You know, a lot of people, they checking things out and, you know, that kind of thing. Now, we vets, you understand? How can you just go to sleep and, you know, no, because we are resting in faith. We are resting in Jesus. That when we take off, angels are on assignment to keep us in all of our ways. So on the way to, watch this now, on the way to the airport, we've already prayed. Father, we thank you. You've given angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And our pathway is life and not death. You understand? We take the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. We thank you, Father, for safe travels, you know, as we take off in the air and as we land. We thank you that we will have favor our entire trip. And on the way back, Father, we thank you that we'll have safety on the way. So we have already declared it. And watch this. And because we've declared it, it's got to be so. I want you to get to the point where every time you speak it, watch this now, it comes to pass and you're not astonished that it came to pass. Like it's supposed to work that way. Now let's drop the verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, what did he say, class? Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's you, that's me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt where? In his heart, because there can be a little bit of doubt in your head, but as long as you have faith in your heart, it'll come to pass. Why can you say that? Because our mind is the arena of faith. Our mind is the case, is the battleground where the enemy will shoot doubt and unbelief. But watch this, sometimes a negative thought will get in your head, but it's not your thought. And the way you don't receive it is don't let it come out of your mouth, because the Bible says, take no thought by saying. So even if the enemy, you go into the doctor and the enemy says, you're going to get a bad report. That's not your thought. So even though a negative thought is in your mind and it seems like there's doubt in your mind, it didn't come from you. Don't receive it. You cast that thought off. You say what the word of God says and you keep on going. Does that make sense? All right. I told you this is one of the most important lessons I can teach you. So he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It's the law of confession. We see it all through scripture that I'm going to have what I say. He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and what's going to happen? You shall have them. And so we've gotta believe that the word works just like that. Now please understand, this is ensuring that we are living the way God wants us to live. This is ensuring that we are in covenant with God. If we do it God's way, we're going to get God results. If I'm not living God's way, then it is an unrighteous expectation for me to see him show up in my life. Although there are times when we weren't doing what we're supposed to do and God still showed up in your life. Isn't that right? Right? So God said, let there be light. And what happened? Light showed up. Right? Did the Bible say that after several hours, light showed up? No, it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. All right? You know, you've heard me teach this before. Scientists say that the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. They are spending millions of dollars trying to find out why the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. They can stop all that, you know, experimenting and trying to figure it out. I don't know if they're still trying to figure it out. This was several years ago. I read it in, I think, Time Magazine, you know, and they were talking about how much money they were spending. I was like, they could send that money to WLCC. You understand what I'm saying? And we'll just go ahead and pay that land off and then buy the land over there. You got it? And just do some incredible things, you know, for the community, because we have a revelation on that. The reason that light is still expanding, the universe is still expanding at the speed of light, is because when God said, "Let there be light," light took off. And because God has not revoked his word, light is still going. Because you got to understand, when God says something, unless he revokes his word, it's still in motion. So God's word is holding everything in place. That is why you don't need to fear. That is why you don't need to fret. That's why you need to turn off the news. Hello, somebody. And turn on some worship or turn on the word. That is why sometimes you need to let some of them news apps alone. You got it. And forget about what is the latest thing going on in the news. What's the latest thing going on in the word of God? Because God's word is holding everything in place, all right? He said that he would perfect those things which concern you, did he not? His word is holding everything in place. He said, watch this, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? Well, God's word is holding everything in place. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." He covered everything. You got it? Well, God's word is holding everything in place. And to the degree we don't let the negativity in, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. As long as we don't let the negativity in and don't have to deal with that and just hold on to God's word, everything he said will come to pass in our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. Everybody say, God's word is holding everything in place in my life. All right. And so you just got to get it. All right. All right. Everybody say, no fear. No fear. I've been on that for months now, and I pray for you every day, because the spirit of fear tried to jump on the entire body of Christ. You got it. And that's something that I pray. And I was walking down, not walking down the road, but I was just walking down, the driveway. That's the right thing. And the Lord told me, keep attacking the spirit of fear. Keep attacking the spirit of fear. Keep attacking the spirit of fear. And that's what we're going to do, because the spirit of fear has no place in your life, has no place in your thoughts. Hello, somebody. All right. Hebrews 11 and 1. Y'all getting blessed? All right. Hebrews 11 and 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." All right. Through faith, we understand, you got to get this, that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So the worlds were framed by the word of God. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. Right? If you notice, watch this. When God made man, he stopped speaking, because he made us and we're speaking spirits. So God would say it and it was, and God would say it and it was. And then he makes Adam. He says, okay, now you say it, and whatever you say it, it's going to be so. Right? And so we are speaking spirits. And he says, "The worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." All right? I'm going to run through some scripture, because I love proof text when I'm teaching something so important like this, because when I give you a lot of proof text, it drives out any negative thought that comes in your mind. Well, what about this and what about this? John 6 and 63. Jesus says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So words are not just joy, noise and sound. Words are spirit in their life. All right. Psalms 141 and 3. He says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips." Now, I want you to understand something. This was the old covenant, all right? We are now in the new covenant. This was Old Testament, and there were things that God did because they were not redeemed, all right? Kind of like the tabernacle and all that kind of stuff. You couldn't go straight into the Holy of Holies. Had to have a priest. But now that we're redeemed, we have direct access. Now that we're redeemed, we don't have to have someone, a priest, to speak on our behalf. We can open our mouths and whatever we say is so. All right. And so I submit to you that he's not going to keep your lips, but he's going to show you how to. Does that make sense? Psalms 39 and 1. "I said, I will take heed to my ways." How many know we all need to do that? You got it. That I sin not with what? Well, that's the Bible, right? So that means it's possible to sin with my tongue. I submit to you one way that you sin with your tongue is when you allow doubt and unbelief to come out of your mouth. Because the Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. All right? He says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is ever before me. Now let's talk about the wicked. Who is the wicked? Satan. Demons, right? So demons are waiting on our mouth. They're waiting on our conversation because they know that death and life is not in the power of God, that it's not in the power of demons, but it is in the power of the tongue. So they try to come and distract you with the situation that will cause you to get frustrated and say something that is not of the word and not of God to allow fear to come into your life. All right. Proverbs 30 and 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, watch this. So if you gotten caught up in pride, if you're allowing things to come out of your mouth that are not right, arrogant, boastful, or evil, he says, you know, you cussing, you know, and those kind of things. I know people don't like when I remind them Christians really ain't supposed to cuss. You understand what I'm saying? All right, I ain't saying Jesus don't love you, but I'm just saying don't be cussing folk out. All right, let me just I was at a grocery store one time. A lady was mad. She was cussing. I didn't know who she was, you know, because she was on the other aisle. And then when we both left, I realized she come to the church. All right, it said and just saw me like, Pastor, hey Pastor, God bless y'all. Just said, I'm better than ever. You ought to be the way you just cussed him out. Okay, all right. That's a true story. I tell all testimonies and not testimonies. All right. We're talking about cussing one time in the early days before Pastor Pat became, you know, associate pastor, and he's pastor over membership care. He does all the calling. You got it? Just because, you know, I'm sure you can imagine, you know, my load is big, and so we have different people doing different things. And so so Pastor Pat, he does all the calling. He'll typically go to a funeral, or he'll come see you in the hospital, and he's the one that keeps up. He sends me a list every week of what's going on and those kind of things. But in the early days, I would call. Boy, I called, and the person on the phone, they did not know it was me. You know, so they was already fussing and cussing at somebody else. And they're like, yeah, who is this? I was like, oh, hey, it's Pastor James from Without Limits. Hey, Pastor! What you doing calling me? Ephesians 4 and 29 seemed like a good spot to go to. Let's put it up on the screen. See what it says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good to the use of edifying means to encourage and to uplift. Isn't that right? That it may minister grace, which has to do with joy and favor and peace to those that hear it. So the Bible is really teaching me anytime I talk to you, it should be in a manner that causes you to hear grace. You got it? And not cussing. Praise the Lord. All right. Man. Okay, I'm almost done. Yeah, I'm almost done. Let's go to Job 6 and we'll wrap it up. Job 6 and wrap. Have y'all gotten anything out of this lesson? All right, Job 6. Everybody thought God was testing Job. But Job said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. So fear was something that came into Job's life that started a series of events. That is why I have been cursing the spirit of fear over your lives, you know, in everybody's life. I've been just cursing the spirit of fear, period, because if you allow fear to come in, it could start a series of events. Job 6 and 23, he says, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Watch what verse 24 says. He says, teach me, and I will do what? Hold my tongue, all right? So in today's time, if I hold my tongue, I hold my tongue because Holy Spirit, he tells me, you know, when you get mad, he already knows what's coming. He says, settle down. You got it. You got it. Don't respond to that text. You ain't ready right now. Don't be on social media right now. You ever scroll on social media and be like, ooh, something going on with them. I don't know what it is. All right. Okay. Teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. So Job's mouth got him in trouble, all right? So this, I just showed that to you just to show us that words have authority. I think this is a good, I don't want to go home yet. I want to make a confession. Y'all remember Jairus? He came to Jesus, told him about his daughter. Jesus said, okay, no problem. I'll go to the house with you. But on the way to going to the house, a woman with the issue of blood showed up, pulled on Jesus' garment, right? And so Jesus had to minister to her. Jairus, according to the Bible, as far as we know, Jairus was pretty cool. He wasn't really upset about it. But during all this, as it was transpiring, Jairus' servants come to him and say, hey, trouble the master no more. He says, your daughter, she's dead. Watch this. Jesus says, shh. In other words, don't say nothing. Jesus looked at Jairus. He said, speak the word only. He said, you know, she's not dead. She's just asleep. Of course, we know the rest of the story. Jesus goes and the girl, you know, she was alive. All right. And so there is a vocabulary of silence, because that's what Jesus was teaching Jairus. There's a vocabulary of silence that after you have made your confession, close your mouth. After you have decreed it and declared it, don't say anything else unless you're going to come back around and just say, Father, I thank you for whatever it is. Because you don't have to ask God again. Isn't that right? Because we believe we receive the moment we pray. Right? We believe that we receive it. So if you're believing, let's just use a job. Father, I thank you, you know, for a job or a new career, paying this and that. You know, I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. You know, you don't have to go back and ask God again for it. Right? You can go back and say, Father, I thank you. It's mine in Jesus' name, right? So there's this vocabulary of silence, because you have to have it, because what happens is 2 or 3 days or even 2 or 3 months will go by and you won't see manifestation, and the enemy will try to get you, watch this, from a place of faith to a place of fear and cause the wrong thing to come out of your mouth. The enemy will try to launch an all-out attack to make you change your confession. So let's make a confession. Let me get something to drink before I make my confession. This is not something that they have on the screen, but it's just something that I want to make. I'm so glad. I heard that. My bad. I mean, it's church, but we still normal people, right? All right. So I want let's stand all over the building, and it's important that we make confessions. You notice we make a Bible confession before we teach the word, right? We make one after we do our offering, right? We make confessions. It has nothing to do with tradition. It has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with me making sure that when you come in here, that I'm helping you make sure that the right things are coming out of your mouth. All right? All right. Here we go. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I have spoken, every word that I have released that's been against your will and your plan for my life and the life of others. I ask you to forgive me. I cancel them right now in Jesus' name. From this day forward, give me understanding. Give me conviction from the Holy Ghost when I speak anything against the word of God. Help me. Give me grace to say what you say in every situation. Help me to be bold. Help me to be strong. You said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. From this day forward, I shall win and never lose. I shall be the head and not the tail. I choose to intentionally glorify you. I choose to intentionally boldly declare where I'm going. So right now, I declare favor is showing up for me. Right now, I declare open doors are showing up for me. Right now, I declare miracle manifestations are showing up for me. Not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. Right now, right now, right now. I decree it, I declare it, I believe it. I receive it. It is so. In Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, we thank you right now that every negative word has been canceled. And as we move from this service, Father, we thank you only words that are edifying and uplifting and words of faith will come out of our mouth. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. I want everyone to repeat this simple prayer after me. If you're not saved and need to be saved, if you need to rededicate your life, you can do that. If I'm not doing it normal, but if you need to join the church, they've got connection cards, things like that. I want everybody to pray this simple prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we give you praise for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?